I have a file in my office where I put all of these little notes that children give me. I've got some from probably 15 years ago that I keep. So it's always very precious to me to get these little notes and pictures from children. This one is a Christmas tree with 5 people underneath a Christmas tree with stars all around. So isn't that cute? Very cute. So thank you. We are in a Christmas season, and the Christmas season we often look at as a time of miracles. And, of course, some of the greatest miracles that ever transpired took place at Jesus' birth, in surrounding Jesus' birth. We know about many of the many mighty miracles that was performed, about the angels coming down and announcing Jesus' birth to Mary and then to Joseph and then announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds. And then we have the miracles of Jesus being protected and all of that, all of those wonderful things that we look at. Well, today I want to look at some of the mini miracles, M-I-N-I miracles. Not the mighty miracles, but some of the many miracles that sometimes we overlook. And as we look at these, perhaps you're going to be able to see some many miracles that take place in your life on a daily basis. And we sometimes overlook those things and don't even acknowledge them. But did you know that God is at work in your life today? He's at work in your life today. And if you will look and open our eyes, and I pray, and let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask the Lord to begin to open our eyes so that we can see the many miracles that He works in, around, and through us. Okay? So, Father, I come before You today. Lord, You're always at work. You're always doing something fantastic. Lord, we often miss it because our eyes aren't open to those things. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we need a heart that is able to receive the things You give us. We need spiritual eyes that are open, physical eyes that are open to all of the wonderful things that You do in and around us as well as through us. So, Lord, I'm asking for myself as well as for this congregation here gathered here today, that You would open our eyes to see those things. And then, as we see them, we can give You praise, we can give You glory, we can give You honor. And we thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're going to begin reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. You may be seated. So there was an emperor, a Roman emperor named Caesar Augustus. And he decided that he was going to take a census of all of the people in the Roman Empire. And so one of the ways that he was to do that is that every person in the Roman Empire was to go to their ancestral home to register at their ancestral home. For Joseph and Mary, it happened to be Bethlehem. Now, I don't think it was in Joseph's plans to go to Bethlehem. Okay? I don't think it was not in Mary's plans to go to Bethlehem. They grew up in Nazareth. And I'm sure that their thought was, we're going to have this baby in Nazareth. We're going to make our home in Nazareth. But all of a sudden, this decree came forth from the emperor saying that you've got to go back to your ancestral home. Now, there's a passage of Scripture in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past." Now, Micah wrote this prophecy about 500 years prior to Jesus' birth. I don't think the emperor knew about this prophecy. But it came to his mind, you know what, I need to do a census. And the whole Roman world had to start moving and traveling so Jesus could get to Bethlehem. That's a miracle to me. A lot of times things are dictated to us or orchestrated for us and we don't like it by the powers that be, and yet maybe perhaps God is trying to move some things in place so that he can have his will accomplished. So Caesar Augustus fulfilled the Lord's will by asking people to go to their homelands, to go to Bethlehem for Joseph and Mary. Now, Joseph and Mary were both of the lineage of David. In Matthew, it gives the lineage of one of them. In Luke, it gives the lineage of the other one. Okay? Both of them come from a lineage of David. Now, there's prophecies in regards to Jesus as being born from the lineage of David. David was a man, you remember, after God's own heart. And he was doing things to fulfill God's will in his time. I would like for us to go to the Lord in prayer again. Lord, I come before you once again. Lord, I pray that you would just take over the service today. Lord, I pray for freedom for us to hear. Come against every mind-binding spirit in the name of Jesus. I command you to go to the feet of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want your power to be displayed here. We want your understanding to be administered here. So, Lord, I'm praying to you today that you would show up. I'm asking you, Father, you would show up in power, that you would have your will and your way in the service today. Lord, if there's anything that's hindering in my own personal life, your spirit flowing here today, I pray, Father, that you would reveal that and remove it. So, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. So look, if you would, at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. This is a promise made to David. He says, God was saying, when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name. Do you remember who that was? That was Solomon. But then he goes on to say, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will secure his royal throne forever. And so he was making a promise to David, and he was saying, David, you're going to have a son. Your son's going to build a temple. But that son, you, there's going to be someone in your lineage who's going to be on the throne forever. Who do you think that is? It was Jesus. So this prophecy that was fulfilled, that they go to Bethlehem, that was a miracle, a prophecy also in regarding to Mary and Joseph being in the lineage of David, was also a prophecy. Now, one of the miracles that I see is that she didn't have the baby on the journey. Okay? A mini miracle. It's a four-day journey. ...80 miles... from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, Scripture says that Mary was obviously pregnant during that time. I don't know if she was able to travel in 4 days. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say she rode on a donkey. So we don't know if she walked. We don't know if Joseph pushed in a wheelbarrow. We don't know how she got there. But normally it would take an individual about 4 days to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I'm thinking, man, if I had been Joseph, that would have been a very anxious time for me. And I'm sure for Mary, too, it was probably an anxious time. Joseph, can't you pull this donkey a little faster? Cynthia, we have two children. Our second child, we were living in Hood River at the Odell at the time, and we had to go to the Dalles where her doctor was when Micah was born. Cynthia's mom and dad were with us. They had come for the time for the baby to be born. And so we left Odell, left our house. Cynthia said, it's time to go. So we got everything in the car and we took off. But when we got to the Dalles, she decided she needed an ice cream at Dairy Queen. And it's like, I don't know that we have time to stop at Dairy Queen to get an ice cream. And she's like, I want an ice cream. And you know what I did? We got an ice cream. Now, her mom was really, really ticked off with me for stopping to get the ice cream. But being the wise man that I am, I would rather my wife be pleased than my mother-in-law. Okay? So, she had her ice cream. I don't remember if I had one or not. But she had her ice cream, and we went on to the doctor, and everything was great. But I was probably wasn't in the God zone. Probably wasn't in the spirit at the time that all this took place. Now, moving on, the mortality rate for children in Jesus' day being born was pretty great. Okay, a lot of infants died, a lot of babies died during that time because they didn't have the sanitary conditions that we now have. One of the miraculous things that I see is that the unsanitary conditions didn't cause sickness or death for Jesus. So when Crystal was born, we were living in Southwest Portland. And St. Vincent's was the hospital we were going to. That's where the doctor was that she had been being administered to. And so I had never been in, I've never been in the hospital to speak of, okay? As far as my own personal, the Lord's gifted me with pretty good health. And so I've never had any surgeries or anything like that. And I'm pretty not up on everything. But I did have a camera because I wanted to take pictures of the baby. Well, I went into the, and we had been going through the Lamaze class. Remember that? So went through the Lamaze class, and I went in to the delivery room pretty excited, and I had my camera, and I didn't know where to put it. So I saw this pile of clothes over here, so I just piled it, stuck it on the pile of clothes. Well, I didn't realize it was all the sanitary gowns and sheets and all of that stuff that they have. And I couldn't understand why the doctors were so angry with me, because I had put my camera on their sanitary stuff, and they had to take all those clothes, put them in the hamster, and get new stuff out and put it in there. Of course, nowadays we have everything sanitary so that there's no infection, no problems with the baby. And I'm sure my child would have been just fine, but we are in a new day, in a new age, where everything has to be sanitized, and the mortality rate has dropped tremendously because of that very thing. Another mini miracle that I see is that Joseph was a carpenter, not a midwife. Okay? Now, he knew how to work with hammers. He knew how to work with chisels. He knew how to work with saws. He had, I'm sure, calluses all over his hands. Probably the most calloused hands you would ever see because of the way he worked. He never, in his farthest imagination, he could never have imagined delivering a baby. That was beyond his comprehension. Now, I know carpenters. I used to be one. Carpenters are usually pretty meticulous planners. Right, Rick? I know other carpenters who are planning, I mean, they plan their work, they plan their day, they plan their future, they got it all planned out. And I can imagine Joseph had his everything planned out, okay? Are you a pretty meticulous planner, Justin? Yeah, your children are saying yes. So here's, you know, so God, there were angels that came periodically to tell Joseph what to do. Okay? An angel told, so Joseph had a plan to marry his fiancée, Mary. But his plan was a little bit messed up because he had not planned to do it. He had not planned to marry her as quickly as the angel told him to. Okay? And then the angel came and told him about leaving Bethlehem and going to Egypt, you know, a couple of years later to protect Jesus. But in all of that, the angel didn't just show up and tell him, okay, Joseph, this is what you got to do today. This is what you got to do today. This is what you got to do. He was just like you and I. We make our plans. And I'm sure that Joseph had planned to be home in Nazareth with his wife, with his parents, with her parents. And I'm pretty sure he had a midwife already picked out. I'm confident of that. Okay? Now, I'm just inserting some things. Scripture doesn't say all this, but I'm just kind of inserting things because if I were Joseph, that's what I would do. Joseph planned, and Scripture does say this, Joseph planned to get a motel room when he got to Bethlehem. Okay? But that plan fell through too. So his wife, Mary, was probably between 13 and 15 years old. She was going to deliver her first child. There wasn't a hospital. There wasn't a doctor. There wasn't a midwife. There wasn't a room. How would you have felt, men, if you had to take your wife to a barn to deliver her child? Scared, terrified. It's like, certainly I can do better than this. Okay? I can't even imagine Joseph in all of his wildest dreams ever having anything prepare him for this. I mean, I wasn't prepared to be a dad. But for this, to deliver your child and to be do it in a barn, and there's nothing that would have prepared him for this. So number six, although Joseph's plans fell through, God's plans didn't. Have your plans ever fallen through? Have you ever had an idea and a thought and began going in that direction and it just nothing worked out and you had to change plans altogether? How does that make you feel? Frustrated? Angry? Discouraged? Perhaps. Well, I'm wondering, sometimes when our plans don't go the way we think they ought to, maybe God has a different plan. And the only way He can get us on our plan, on His plan, is if our plans don't succeed. Do you think that perhaps God's plan may be different than your plan? Now, I've given this some thought. And I've said this, and I may have to retract what I've said. Unless you look at it in a spiritual way. We say, well, if your plans fall through, probably God has a better plan for you. So I want to ask you a question. Was a better plan being born in a barn than in a motel? Must have been. Was a better plan for Joseph to be assisting the delivery of the baby or a midwife? When we look at things in God's perspective, it's always better. But when we look at it from a human perspective, it's not always what we think is best. And I think I can say God's got a better plan, but better doesn't mean always better, humanly speaking, because God is more interested in your character than He is your comfort. Okay? God is more interested in your spiritual well-being than He is your physical well-being. Would you agree with that? Okay. So in order for you to be spiritually where you need to be, perhaps, and myself as well, perhaps He will not allow you to go, do the things that you want to go and do. Maybe you're not able to succeed in an area you want to succeed because God is wanting you to succeed in your spiritual life. So we must look at things in a way that's going to bring the truth into the picture. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We can make our plans, but God determines our steps. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I was planning to go to the foreign mission field. That was my plans. I thought that's where the Lord was taking my wife and I, and we were going to school, we were getting the education we needed, and somehow that fell through. Of course, I'm not on the mission field. And so then I thought, well, maybe God is preparing me to be a church planter here in the United States. So we came out to the Northwest. We had been in the South for a while, came out to the Northwest, and interviewed for a church planting position, which means you start a church from the ground up with no members, no anything. And that fell through. And then this church contacted me three times before I felt the Lord's leadership come here. Now, I am grateful that the Lord brought me here. I know this was God's plan. I know this is where God wanted me. I could have continued to pursue areas that doors had closed, but I would not be where God wanted me to be today if I had done that. Tom and Renee, last year, about this time, had come to a decision that, yes, this is where God wanted them. That was not an easy decision for them because both of them have really good or had really good jobs in the Portland area. And we called them and they were like, okay, at first. And but God's, because they had never planned that, their plans were to stay where they were in the Portland area, continue to work their jobs, and retire easy and have everything given to them. Everything hunky-dory, no worries, no anything. But God had other plans. And He was more interested in their character than He was their comfort. And if you are a child of God, He's going to do that in your own life. James, working on Yitney. Every day. And it's a struggle, but it's worth it. It's a struggle, but it's worth it. So, where is God taking you? Are you being resistant? Are you holding back? Or are you following Him? Your action steps. Number one, I will begin looking for the many miracles God is doing in and around me. Number two, when my plans fail, I will look to see what God is doing. Number three, I will follow as the Lord leads. Number four, I will memorize Proverbs 16:9. Just submit this to you, that when your plans fail, rather than getting frustrated, aggravated, irritated, angry, and upset, consider that perhaps God has allowed that for a reason. And when your plans fail, that he's got a different plan in place. Not necessarily a better plan in our estimation, but a better plan in his estimation. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I know that you are intimately involved in every one of our lives. The moment we're born, and even before, in the moment of conception. Lord, you want to be intimately involved in our lives on a moment-by-moment basis. Until the day we die, until we reach glory, until eternity. But Lord, we often miss what you're doing because our focus is more on our self and our will, our desires, rather than upon your will and your desires. So Lord, I pray you'd help us to change our focus. Help us to see things from your perspective rather than ours. Lord, you have a plan for us. And it's different than our own plans. God, I pray that today, every person here, if anyone here who has been resisting your plan, that they would come to you, and repent, and call out to you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us like you did. Thank you for being so intimately involved with us. And Lord, if there's anyone today who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, they would understand that your plan's bigger and better than theirs. Lord, they would reach out to you. They would call out to you for help, for hope, and for strength. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name.